Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Electric Leftovers. My name is Jason. This is episode 424. We are once again out in the Groove Machine Dome on this most happy and joyous of President's Days to you. And I think the only appropriate way to celebrate this President's Day is with announcement, the taking note of a recent poll study paper. This chair is very squeaky. That historians have concluded, ladies and gentlemen, worst president ever, Donald J. Trump. Indeed. I think we all knew it going in. I think we all were very sure of it coming out. And that's just, you know, it's the world we live in now, and can you believe it? Can you believe it? The ongoing campaign contest for who gets to be president next is between a guy with a stutter and a gentleman credibly accused of rape who is no longer allowed to operate a business in New York State and who stared into a solar eclipse twice. Yeah, I'll take the guy with the stutter. Thank you. Welcome to the show. This week, we have got some new Final Fantasy Tactics happening. We're going to have some new Super Mario World, which is our stream on Monday nights for another week or two. If you care to join us for that, you can get the information at the end of the show. We're going to read some reviews for Gone Home. We're going to look at a little game called Goonies 2. Boy, oh boy. I'm looking forward to doing the soundtrack of this one because I like the music in this game. And weird news, music, all of that stuff. And I just realized I came out to do this and my tablet, which has all that, is dead. So we'll piece that in afterwards, huh? How about that? Don't worry about it, though. You'll hear about the new song. You'll hear about the new movie. I promise. In a heap of ugliness, mean old Ma Fratelli's come back for revenge, and this time she plans to do away with the Goonies for good. One by one, this crazed mama and her two nutty sons have kidnapped your fellow Goonies, hauling them off to a spooky shack and hiding them in a maze of adventure filled with danger, including the slippery ice cavern, the secret underground sea, and the eerie attic. Now you're the only Goonie left, and the fate of your friends is in your hands. But saving the day won't be easy, for armed with your trusty yo-yo and whatever weapons you can find, you'll be forced to fight off fearsome foes and solve menacing mysteries. You'll have to be willing to risk it all, being brave and bold to rescue your buddies, the Goonies.
Oh, you betcha, Goonies 2.
Goonies 2, it's one of them, their video games. Maybe you've heard of them. It's just outright calling it a Metroidvania now. I disagree. This is an action adventure game developed and published by Konami, released in 1987. And look, I don't care how many people say it. How many people? Some of you may be old enough to remember when everybody said Uber and didn't mean the rideshare thing. They meant like, oh, that's Uber awesome, dude. Because it's stupid. We already have a word for very. That word is very. Use it. Good job. This is a game I own. I own a copy of this. I rented it a few times as a kid. Never knew what the hell I was doing. Not really based on the movie at all. Everybody remembers Goonies 2, the sequel to the movie. No, but kind of, sort of. There is a Goonies 1 game that did not get a U.S. release. MSX and Nintendo only, I believe. Could be wrong about that. It's a good game. We got the sequel, not the first one. It's kind of like Earthbound like that, I guess. Over in the sidebar here, games you may like include Castlevania 2, Metroid, Euphoria, The Saga. We've played all of those. And yeah, I agree. If you're into any of those kind of games, I think you'd like doing these too. Game control? Gameplay is good, music's good, graphics are good. Well, music's damn good, but you know, that's for you. See, Gone Home reviews. I'm gonna guess there's not many. We have one detailed, we have three full, and we have a couple of quicks. Let's start with this one. Yeah. I'm reading these because my tablet's dead, so there. So I'm reading these off TV, so it's a little it's gonna be interesting. Over in the sidebar, by the way, games you may like, the Talos Principle. Have it, never played it. Superliminal, never heard of it. Return of the Obra Dinn. Also, Goosebumps, Dead of Night, didn't even know, and The Mansion, didn't even know. Anyway, Horror Spooky in 2014 says you can always go back. They begin thusly. Indie gaming has taken off like never before because of games like Gone Home. These games defy genre conventions, offering new experiences that would be impossible when gaming was an industry dominated by big budget releases. Gone Home is artistic, interesting, and extremely engrossing. It's a game that needs to be played to be truly appreciated. Gone Home's biggest strength is its story. The story unfolds in a few different ways. Players take control of Katie, the eldest sister in a family of four. The rest of the family is her father and mother and her younger sister, a rebellious teenager. Players find notes around the house that offer more information on the various characters and their lives. Along the way, Katie finds journals written by her sister, Sam. These journals are spoken out loud by a fantastic voice actor that helps the game come alive. The audio in Gone Home is a big part of the experience, with the voice acting great and sound effects absolutely fantastic. From the sound of thunder rolling outside to the subtle creaking of the old house, the sound design in Gone Home is some of the best that I've seen in gaming to date. Actually, playing the game is not as enjoyable as the experience of the game. Gone Home has slight freezing issues every now and then, and the physics in the game are a little weird at times. There are issues where the cursor won't acknowledge an item that can be interacted with, even if the cursor is pointed directly at the thing. There's not really much puzzle solving or anything of that nature. Katie will find maps that have clues, combinations to locks, and keys to unlock other doors, but it's all done in a way that doesn't require a whole lot of thinking or anything like that. Exploring every inch of every room in the house can be a little tedious, and there are lines that lead to nowhere particularly interesting, but overall, Gone Home is a visceral experience that will keep you guessing to the very end. Gone Home is a unique story, and there's not really one like it elsewhere in the industry. I can't talk too much about what makes it great without getting into the territory of spoilers, but I can say that fans of a great story will absolutely love Gone Home. It's not one of the best games of the year, but it's a one-of-a-kind experience that is just another argument in favor of the ever-growing indie gaming scene. Horror Spooky gave it an 8. I think I agree with that. I don't recall any freezing issues when I played the game, but it's been a while. Let's move on. Let's do... Everybody did this in 2014. There's a couple who did it in 2013, like right after it came out. Everybody had to be the first to review it on GameFAQs. Let's do... Oh, flip a coin. Odd or even? What's the... Oh, it's even. Okay. Squeaky chair. Yoshi's One Island, or excuse me, Yoshi underscore S underscore the number one sland. You know, island with a one. Everybody travels, he says, they says, in 2014. United States countryside, a very large piece of estate. It is very rainy and late in the day. Only shadows are out there. Katie is just back from her 1 year of traveling in Europe. She lives in the estate with her parents and the sister of hers. I don't think Yoshi's Island is a native English speaker. I know it sounds like I'm not sometimes. Will any of her relatives be there to welcome her? They were all missing her much, yet the first to greet Katie is a sheet of paper on the entrance with excuses for not being there. On the other side, exploring one's family house undisturbed may reveal much of unknown. Gone Home is a game of exploration, of a large house, yet also of a whole family's existential condition revealed by hints and traces all around the building, which, like in any family, reveal while hiding. Exactly. It is one product of the kind that is customarily named as indie in our time, and we would be able to guess so by the abundance of programming errors and small malfunctions encountered all along the gameplay experience. These are rather tedious as they concern gameplay. Gameplay previously, gameplay experience was game space play. Gameplay elements is one word, gameplay. Thus, annoyances are not a rare, rather a constant occurrence. Besides, we note a certain technical poverty. Lighting and sound variations as Katie moves or turns her head to a different direction are managed in such a miser way that one may think that a restart is needed the first one or two times. Wow. It is not easy to figure on what grounds they thought to allow only a save file, so that it is impossible to continue searching for hidden secrets after finishing the game and start a new game separately. As to the banality of the hints and clues the game hinges on, especially those referring to Katie's parents as the adults, seen in Fact Rightly Done, as I see it, these scorches have to be banal in order to be truthful. This wants to be and is the story of a common family composed of common individuals. Besides, not all traces of the past Katie encounters speak lightly. Here and there, tragedy shines behind the veil of the ordinary. Just, you know, making sure I'm not tasting metal. The slow, minimally perceivable manner lives wreck happens to be pictured very well, although at rare moments. I don't even know what I just said. Gone Home's most appreciable side are perhaps the dry precision in which it displays human cruelty and the all-devouring emptiness of any existence that follows, leaving it to no other destiny but essential solitude and a non-negligible effort in featuring details for the kind of player that seeks for them. There is really many. This game is not poor in all what does not take talent, and for sure not poor in goodwill. I gave it a 6. I don't understand. I think he liked it. I think he thinks it's okay, but it's got some shortcomings. I think that's what we can piece together from that. Finally, Jarek, also in 2014, says Gone Home quickly creates an atmospheric, creepy mansion and then proceeds to do absolutely nothing with it. A fierce storm rages outside. Heavy rain beats down on the roof, rattling and echoing through the dark, empty halls and lonely rooms of the mansion. Katie walks in and looks around. No one is home. Gone Home wastes no time creating an atmospheric, creepy mansion and then proceeds to do absolutely nothing with it. I love it when you put the title in the movie, in the review. It's like when a movie does it. Like, oh no, it's not an apocalypse. It's a Birdpocalypse. I don't know if that's in that movie. I've never seen Birdpocalypse, believe it or not. Once you turn some lights on, the house starts to become a little friendlier. All you do is walk around the house, clicking on items, that reveal more about you, your family, and in particular, your younger sister, Sam. The only challenge is in finding the next interactive item to unlock more of the mansion. As you progress, you'll be treated to snippets of Sam's diary, which tells an Oscar bait-worthy story, which is striving so hard to further the games as art debate. Gone Home is art, but it isn't a game. It's a visual story, and it is entertaining enough while it lasts. There's some real heart to the writing, and the character of Sam is fleshed out by her journal and other possessions that she has left behind. I can't even talk about the story without spoiling it, so there's little to talk about in this review. The problem is that the usual asking price is $20. All you do is walk around the house clicking on stuff, listening to snippets of the journal for about an hour and a half, then it's over. There's no replay value. The story isn't any better the second time around. The dark, empty mansion is even less creepy when you know there's absolutely nothing to worry about. It'll just sit on your hard drive until you delete it to make room for other stuff. There seems to be a trend of games like this. Dear Esther suffered from much the same issue, but at least the story was ambiguous and open to interpretation. Was it? Gone Home's narrative is linear and absolute, with no room for interpretation. You've probably been hearing the buzz about Gone Home. People will tell you that it's really good. It is. But you shouldn't buy it. You can get the same experience by watching a walkthrough on YouTube and it won't cost you a thing. And cost is really the biggest issue with this release. You might pay $20 for a collection of short stories where Gone Home is one of many. I doubt you would pay $20 to see Gone Home as an indie movie, and you probably wouldn't be satisfied with all the real-time walking around looking for things, scenes that it would be filled with, since there's maybe 25 minutes worth of actual dialogue. So you wouldn't spend $20 for a game where you do the same. Hell, I picked it up for $5 in a recent Steam sale, and I still feel slightly ripped off. And Jarek gave it a 4. I can understand that this game is not for everybody. I appreciate that he did mention Dear Esther, because I think, as I mentioned, I got this game because I played Dear Esther and enjoyed it so much I wanted something similar to it. It's, you've got to be in the mindset and the mood for a game like this. When I got it, I didn't know what it was about. The art. I was going to say box art, but there's not really a box. It's a creepy old mansion in the dark with "Gone Home" written in what appears to be chalk. Right, so it's kind of got this horror vibe starting off at the beginning. But it doesn't, it's not a horror game. It does start off making you feel a little uncomfortable, a little unsure, maybe nervous about what's going to happen in this house. But that does go away fairly quickly when you realize there's nobody here. Everybody's just gone. And I think that helps. I think it would take away from trying to experience and understand the story if you are constantly on the lookout for bad guys, you know, for monsters, ghosts, whatever. Game like Amnesia, maybe. This would not work with that style of gameplay. That's my thought, anyway. I think the graphics are okay. I think Dear Esther has better graphics just overall. But I think Dear Esther had a much bigger budget to work with than Gone Home did. There's a couple of portraits in Gone Home that are really bad. Like, cheesy, almost borderline scary, bad horror movie bad. But otherwise, everything in the house looks fine. You know, you can tell what everything is. The things you can interact with, you know, fairly easily. I think the soundtrack is phenomenal. I think the voice acting is great. And I'm glad that, was it Horror Spooky mentioned the sound design? Because the sound design is excellent in this game. So good that you don't notice it just because it is so good. That might sound weird, but if you're standing outside and it's raining and thunder and blah, 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 and then the minute you go inside, that goes away, you notice stuff like that. But it doesn't go away, so you don't notice it because that's what's supposed to happen. It's very natural in that sense, and I appreciate that they do it that way. It makes exploring the house feel more natural and more organic. As you go like downstairs into the middle of the house or into the basement, you hear the environment less. As you go upstairs into the attic, you hear it more. It works really well. You can turn on music in one room and leave, and the volume will change depending on how you go, because that's realistically how that would work. I think the story is very good as well. Just ticking off all the boxes here. It's not the story I was expecting when I got the game, but now that I've played through it twice, I think it's a very good story. And like everybody else said, you can't get into it without spoiling anything. And you really need to kind of stick through till about 80%, 85% through the game to really like get a good grasp on what's going on. For only being with these characters for such a short time and never actually getting to see or interact with anybody directly, when I finished the game, I came off feeling very like, I hope everybody's okay. You know what I mean? Especially Sam. Because the game really does end up kind of being about Sam at some point. And, you know, you worry about her a little bit because she's had a rough time. That's what I got. If you enjoyed something like Ether One or Dear Esther and have not seen Gone Home, check it out. I know it's like, I agree with Jarek. You're not going to get any more out of the game playing it as you would watching it. But I do encourage you to go and play it. Get it on sale. Get it something. Because this was 11 years ago. This game came out August 2013. So almost 11 years ago at the time I'm recording this. And if we want other game companies to keep making games so it's not just the big budget ones, we really gotta support developers who do stuff like this. So I 100%, if you can find it, it's on Steam. If you want to drop $20 on it, go for it. I kind of agree that I don't think for the game itself is worth $20. But it's not just the game, it's the experience you have with the game. And I think that's probably worth at least 10. So take that for what you will. I will give Gone Home 1 out of 10. I'll give Gone Home an 8.5. I'll give it an 8.5.
It is movie time. Hi, I'm in the house now using the different setup. Because I needed to come in because that's where the movie was. Our movie this week, The Iron Giant, released in 99? Yeah, 99. Animated movie based on the novel of the same name. The novel came out in 1968 by Ted Hughes. The novel originally called The Iron Man, changed over to The Iron Giant. The film has a lot of voices in it that, you know, you might not think of. Jennifer Aniston, Harry Connick Jr., Vin Diesel, Cloris Leachman, Christopher McDonald, M. Emmett Walsh. Takes place during the Cold War, centers on a young boy named Hogarth who discovers a giant alien robot. He and his artist buddy try to keep the U.S. military and a federal agent from finding and destroying it. Originally, it was going to be a musical done by Pete Townsend of The Who, but when they got the new director, they kind of changed a little bit. Has some traditional and computer-generated stuff. Excellent score. I really like the story in the movie. It's one of the saddest movies. I don't know why. It could be totally wrong here, but I have... I've talked about this movie with a lot of people because people say, what's some sad movies? I want to see a sad movie. And I say, well, if you want something a little off the beaten path for a sad movie, I would recommend The Iron Giant. And if the person I tell is male, they'll watch it and like, oh God, that was really sad. That was totally sad. But if it's female, it's lady who watches the movie, like, I don't see why that was so sad. It's not scientific study. It's just an observation I have had. Yeah, I think it's great. If you like it, read the book. The book gets kind of weird. The movie doesn't follow the book super closely, but it's still like really good. And if you're interested in one, I absolutely recommend checking out the other.
Before we get to the news, I should have done this before I hit the button, but I didn't. I'm gonna get some coffee here. That's why I brought it with me. Why I can drink it. Alright, our lead story. Not too bad. Our lead story this week is Wait What? In Atkinson, New Hampshire. Scrolling is weird on a TV. A new business is stirring up controversy
ladies and gentlemen. The Diaper Spa is a haven for adults who roleplay as children. Boston.com reported that the spa is open to, quote, all diaper-wearing individuals who seek acceptance, respite, and care. Or respite, if you're a modern rogue. The facility, that's a different thing, is decorated like a nursery with toys and adult-sized cribs. Services range from $200 an hour for virtual playdates to $1,500 a day, an experience that pampers, quote, the little one inside of you. The owner, Dr. Colleen Ann Murphy, said the community of ABDL, or Adult Baby Diaper Lovers, is vast. Being a part of this community brings comfort and solace, she said, and added that her services do not have a sexual component. Some Atkinson residents are concerned, though, quote, that's something that I will never be willing to expose my kids to, said Kyla Gallagher. People tend to fear anything that they fail to comprehend, Murphy countered. Yeah, you know, you do you. You do you. It's a mystery, ladies and gentlemen. Brett Elmore, the general manager of WJLXAM Radio in Jasper, Alabama, thought he had misheard when he got a call on February 2nd, the Washington Post reported. Quote, the tower is gone, his landscaper said. The 200-foot-tall steel structure that had broadcast the station for decades was gone, with cut wires and an empty concrete slab left behind. Elmore said police were, quote, as bumfuzzled as I was. Bumfuzzled. Upon further investigation, he realized the padlock was missing from the small building adjacent to the tower, and the transmitter was also gone. I've heard of thieves in this area taking anything, Elmore said, but this one takes the cake. If the tower is found, it's probably in a million pieces. It's AM radio. It's just conservative talk in sports. No big loss. The Lima family in Philadelphia are investigating an unidentified object that appeared on their roof on February 7th, NBC 10 TV reported. Maybe it's a radio tower. Fabian Lima said he thought the 8-foot-tall flat piece of rusty metal with a large hole in it might have fallen from a plane. That's not a radio tower at all. But I would have thought it would have gone right through, he said. The Limas called the Federal Aviation Administration, who told them to hold on to the item until given the all clear. Later, the FAA said it had investigated and the object did not come from an aircraft. That's where the story ends. What was it? Jesus Christ. I have a friend who's a copy editor. And just... I want them to see some of the stuff that we go through on this show. Like, I have offered, I'll edit your story for $2. Any story, any length, $2. Send it to me. I'll do it. Next, ew! U.S. Customs and Border Protection reported on February 11th that the agency has confiscated the dead and dehydrated bodies of 4 monkeys from the luggage of a traveler returning to Boston Logan International Airport from the Democratic Republic of Congo. So the Associated Press reported that the traveler claimed he had dried fish, but a dog sniffed out something different. Bushmeat is banned in the U.S. because of the threat of disease, and the flyer said he had the monkeys for his own consumption. No charges were filed, but the luggage was seized, and about 9 pounds of bushmeat were destroyed by the CDC. I got some dried fish, and the dog's like, hey, no, it's not fish. I don't know how I know that. I just know it's not fish. And I don't know how I'm communicating to you that it's not fish. But it's clearly not fish. It's a very sleepy dog. Sorry. Animal antics. Oh, this is about me again. When Bedford firefighters were called out to a horse farm in Westchester County, New York on February 5th, they feared the worst. Nuclear holocaust. NBC4TV reported. Fortunately, it was a false alarm. Probably activated by Jax the horse. Jax, J-A-X, which means his two front legs are metal, who refused to answer any questions about his shenanigans, the department said in a Facebook post. Evidently, he was able to reach out from his stall and bite down on the alarm to set it off. So, you saying dogs can talk but horses can't? Or was he just like, no, okay, nope, don't speak English. Tourists behaving badly. The Chinese, ladies and gentlemen. It's a great way to start this segment. The Chinese take their pandas very seriously, as one Mr. Gao found out on February 12th at the Chengdu Research Base of Giant Panda Breeding in Sichuan Province. get a longer name. The Associated Press reported that Gao, 53, threw unspecified, quote, objects into the panda enclosure, which is strictly prohibited. Throwing unspecified glances, though, it's probably okay. In view of Gao's uncivilized visit and his behavior that may cause harm to giant pandas, he is prohibited from entering the panda base for life, the base announced. The whole base announcement. The National Treasure has strict dietary standards. Like the field and on shaman. Here's a field report. Poor Joey the donkey. He's 15 and lives in Sidmouth, England. Lost his mom, Josie, in November and hasn't been himself since, Metro News reported. In his grief, Joey stopped eating properly and developed a gastric impaction that threatened his life. Luckily, vets devised a sweet solution. As well as pain relief, we flushed Joey's stomach with cola several times a day to dissolve the solid. Veterinarian Jamie Forrest said, we used 6 liters of full sugar cola a day. In essence, the cola acted like a drain cleaner. How's that Diet Coke sounding now? Folks at Slade House Farm also hooked Joey up with Ben, another donkey who lost his best friend Bob late last year. We hope their shared experience of loss will allow them to comfort each other, said groom Kaylee Yelland. Their friendship is still flourishing. It's early days. I don't think flourishing is the word you meant to use there. Also, you guys are terrible at naming donkeys. Josie and Joey and Ben and Bob. Come on. George R.R. Martin style names right there. Weird science. Charlotte, a stingray who lives at the aquarium and shark lab in Hendersonville, North Carolina, is pregnant. Oh, congratulations. But scientists are stumped because there are no male stingrays in her tank. WBTV reported on February 12th that Brenda Rammer, the founder of the aquarium, said she noticed bite marks on Charlotte's body and suspects that they were either made by Moe or Larry. The young male sharks that live with her in the tank. Since it's impossible for those two species to interbreed, the only other explanation could be parthenogenesis, where eggs develop without fertilization and create a clone of the mother. Raymer doubts that's the case because it's rare in rays in captivity. It's a once-in-the-bluest of blue moons experience. Occam's razor, that stingray lady. Our least romantic thief, Anthony Lewis, 33, of Winter Haven, Florida. Winter Haven made it in the news last week, didn't it? Well, he wanted to surprise his ex-girlfriend and maybe lure her back with a unique Valentine's Day gift. So he picked up a couple of crane statues out of someone else's front yard. Fox 13 TV reported that Lewis was on his motorcycle when he snatched the cranes, which were, quote, very special, to the owner because of her deceased husband, and he had given them to her. Sorry. Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd, Grady, said the girlfriend was mortified and cooperated with law enforcement. Lewis, who had 39 priors, was arrested. If this guy is in the area, he'll just steal it, Judd said. Steal the area? 39 priors, you're living in Florida, you're almost vice president material. Do you know the law? The law for vice president says the president and the vice president can't live in the same state. Can't be from the same state. Why? I think the idea was, like, you wouldn't want, like, 2 senators from Florida to become president and vice president or something like that. Trump doesn't hold office. It's a weird law. Repeat offenders. In Washington, D.C., a Walgreens store has been robbed at least once a month since July 2023, WUSA-TV reported. On February 13th, Metropolitan Police Chief Pamela A. Smith announced that 3 men had been arrested in connection with the robberies, including the store's manager. In every robbery, she said 24-year-old Kemaine Williams allegedly entered the storeroom and waited for an employee to open a secure door. Then he demanded money and fled. Michael Robinson, 33, the manager, and his nephew, 26-year-old Gianni Robinson, were also arrested and charged with conspiracy to interfere with interstate commerce by robbery. Okay. Smith said Williams was in touch with both men before and after each robbery. Interstate commerce by robbery. That's a charge. Police report, finally. Three Chesterfield County, South Carolina, sheriff's deputies were charged on February 12th with misconduct in office, criminal conspiracy, and breach of peace, Queen City News reported. Justin Reichard, Darian Rosau, and Killian Laughlin are accused of making prank phone calls to other law enforcement agencies, reporting hoax emergencies, including the discovery of a dead body. The hoax caused emergency responses from law enforcement and or other emergency responders, the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division reported. Officers tracked the phone numbers where the calls came from to one of the former deputies. All three are free and awaiting trial. Slow crime day in South Carolina, so you gotta make up your own crime, huh? Well, I can't say I blame you. I probably run out of things to do in South Carolina myself. Warren, we have a song originally written by Warren Zevon, but first recorded by someone else. That song is Carmelita from his self-titled album, 1976. Originally recorded by the Canadian singer Maury McLaughlin on his self-titled album in 72. Linda Ronstadt's done a cover. Gigi Allen did a cover. Flaco Jimenez did a cover. Dwight Yoakam, I think, worked on one. It's a very interesting song, and it's one of those songs, Warren, we talked about this when we started the whole thing, Warren lives on the street in between Tom Waits and Bob Dylan, and this is one of those more on the Tom Waits side of the street, because it's about a guy, and this guy, he's, you want to say down on his luck, but maybe not. He hears mariachi static on the radio and the tubes that glow in the dark. That's a great way to start a song, right? But there's possibly also a big Samoan boyfriend who's going to come and break his back. He sells a typewriter to get drug money, or a rifle, or a pistol, depending on the version of the song you listen to. References the Alvarado chicken stand, which is still open to this day. In Los Angeles, and the muse Carmelita for the song. Well, they've cut off her welfare checks, and that's no good place to be. Ladies and gentlemen, is there egg on my face? Let me tell you. I got everything done. I was all ready. I've got the whole show. Is good. I go to finish it. You know, put everything together. Make sure that the volume's good and the sounds are there. I forgot to record an outro. So here we are doing the outro. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please consider leaving us a review. maybe a rating, possibly a like, a comment, and a subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to check out any of the videos for any of the games we talked about on this week's episode of the show, games like Final Fantasy Tactics, Gone Home, Goonies 2, or Super Mario World, you can visit jasonsgroovemachine.com and you can find it all there. If you want to check out my YouTube page, that's Jason's Groove Machine. If you want to check out a stream sometime, twitch.tv/jasonsgroovemachine, we stream Monday nights, 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Would love to see you there. If you'd like to kick in a couple of bucks and financially support the show and get access to the video version of the podcast, which I think I'm making some progress on, visit buymeacoffee.com/electricleft. Buy me a coffee. That'll get you in. Oh, you betcha. In on the ground floor, one might say. Well, basement. Sub-basement with this show. Anyway, you know what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say thank you for listening. Hope you had a good time. We'll see you next week.